Well, let's get started this morning. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 and 2 is going to be our main passage this morning. Isaiah 49, 1 and 2. And let's have Gabe, if you'll read that for us here in a moment.
Isaiah 49?
Yeah, 1 and 2. Then John 15 and verse 5, Brian Mitchell, if you'll get that for us. John 14, 13, IL, if you'll grab that, John 14, 13. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, Will, Shear, if you'll grab that. 1 Peter 2, 9, and then Acts 13 and verse 2, Micah, if you'll get that, Acts 13 and verse 2. And then lastly here, Jeremiah 1 and verse 9, Kenny, if you'll read that there. Okay, back in January, I did a lesson on 180 preaching. And in that lesson, I went over the mechanics of concert preaching. We looked at the voice levels. We looked at an outline of a clear altar call. And so today, I want to look at the heart of preaching, or the spiritual preparation of the altar call preacher, working that through in advance. So this will be 180 preaching, lesson number 2. Let's read Isaiah 49, 1 and 2.
Listen to me, all you in distant lands. Pay attention, you who are far away. The Lord called me before my birth. From within the womb he called me by name. He made my words of judgment as sharp as a sword. He has hidden me in the shadow of his hand. I am like a sharp arrow in his quiver.
Okay, let's look at this here. Lesson 2 on 180 preaching. Let's talk firstly about the God factor. Effective preaching always starts with God. We as men, as people, we need God to get involved in our preaching. Without that, it's going to be all on us. Let's read John 15 in verse 5.
I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing.
Okay, without me you can do nothing. This is God. He's giving us an insight, giving us understanding that without him we cannot accomplish anything, especially when it comes to the things of God, spiritual matters. Without God, we can't stay saved. Without God, we can't soul win. Without God, we can't be effective in our preaching. Without God, we won't be able to see hands raised. Without God, fill in the blank, with apart from me, you can do nothing. So effective preaching really starts with the recognition that I need God. That's the starting point. And so in that honest recognition of our need, what we're actually doing now is highlighting our source of power, our source of confidence, our source of effectiveness becomes God, right? When you confess the need, you now respond correctly, right? You point your life to God. So it is God who equips us with effectiveness. Verse 1 for in our main passage of Isaiah chapter 49, verse 1 teaches us calling comes from God. It says, the Lord called me. So if God is involved with this, right, in your calling, then God's going to be involved in the results. If God called us, then God will help us, right? And that is a powerful truth. I remember numbers of times Pastor Greg saying that, but even saying that to me personally. Yeah, but God called you, so God is going to help you. And so this is very much where it starts, effective preaching. Verse 2 in our main passage says, he made my mouth like a sharp sword. So if effective preaching starts with God, if calling comes from God, now anointing, which what would be a basic, I'm asking the question, what would be a basic definition of anointing? Yeah.
Divine effectiveness.
Absolutely. That is exactly what Pastor Greg has coined there. It's divine effectiveness. So, who makes our mouth like a sharp sword? He does. God does. So, anointing and that divine effectiveness flows from God. What's a basic definition of dominion? Yeah.
The right to rule.
It is the right to rule. These are important that you understand these. These are fundamentals, okay? And when you recognize your need and you make God your source, right, now he can make you like that sharp sword. He can give you dominion. We are going to rule here. We are going to make a difference in the results that we're going to see, because God is going to help us. So the starting point of altar call preaching is, effective altar call preaching is, God, I need you. That is a confession, right? We're making it known. Where that's humility and honest recognition, and it's a decision. Since I need help, I'm turning to God. Because the problem is, right, guys want to turn to other things as the source. Right? If I'm professional, if I look professional, or if I have just the right lighting and the right mood and the right ambiance and the right altar call song and the right, you know, all these different things, and no. The decision of my source for the divine effectiveness, my source for dominion, it's going to come from God. So that is there, the God factor. So let's think secondly about the you factor. Okay, so effective preaching starts with God. That's the foundation. But then we need to think, what does that actually look like? What does that actually practically look like when you make God the source for your altar call preaching? Number one, it starts with prayer. We need to pray for these things. Let's read John 14 and verse 13.
And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
Okay, here's Jesus speaking to the disciples, and he says, I'll do whatever you ask in my name. So, think about this. What are the things we need to be praying for? We need to be praying for a heart for the things of God. Right? There's some guys, it's like calling, discipleship, preaching, it's a thing they could do. Right? It's like, yeah, I'm involved with sports, I'm involved with my career, I'm involved with, and then I'm also involved in altar call preaching, or I'm also, yeah, kind of pursuing the things of God, but it's not really there. Outside of the microphone, it's not really there. It's not really like there's a burden. It's not really like there's a passion. It's not really like there is a hunger and a desire. So pray for that. You know, in some way you've been called. You sense that that's at work there. There's a desire, but pray for it. God, give me a heart. Give me a heart for what you want. Give me a heart for the things that you want. In the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is that saying? It's saying, I want what you want here. I want what you want in my life. I want what you want at work in my ministry or the things I'm involved with. So pray for it. Pray for a heart for evangelism. Right? Soul winning and seeing the lost, seeing the broken, having eyes for the harvest, Jesus told the disciples, lift up your eyes and look for the harvest is ready. Because we can be focused on so many other things, but when we have a heart for it, but pray for that. Ask God for that. We should be praying for anointing, right? You could take this lesson and pray Isaiah 49 and verse 2, make my mouth like a sharp sword. God, you said it. You spoke it to Isaiah. You don't love Isaiah more than me. You can make my mouth like a sharp sword. You can make me like an arrow in your quiver. You can send me wherever you want to send me. Right? You've got to pray for that. Pray for dominion. I want to see certain things. I want to rule or have authority in different arenas of life, or in this case, in preaching. I want dominion in my preaching, that my words would not fall to the ground, that as I've studied and done my part, that there's going to be an anointing and a dominion at work through my life. So pray for it. That's what making God the source, that's that starting point, that's what it would look like. The second involves Scripture. Getting the Word of God in you. Getting things, Scripture and truths and promises into your life. You need to read your Bible, and that's a thing you could ask God to help you with. I don't have a heart for reading the Word. It's boring. I get sleepy or I get tired, whatever. But you gotta, God, help me. Give me a heart and begin to read it. Begin to get into it. Begin to study it. Right? Beyond just the reading as a disciple, beginning to dig deeper in your study. Begin to memorize it. And as you get in the habit of reading, it's just going to reside in you when you read it with an open heart. But you have to get it in you so that you can draw out truth. Okay? It has to be in you so you can draw out truth. Think of your bank account, right? You can try to swipe your debit card all day or but if there's no funds there, you're not getting anything, right? So that's the Word of God in your heart. You go to make a withdrawal for an altar call. You go to make a withdrawal in a witness. You go to make a withdrawal. But there's nothing to withdraw from. There's nothing in there. So you've got to get that into you so that you have something to lean on. In life, when I get questions about life, my default is the Word of God. Questions about the Bible, questions about salvation, questions, or I get confronted with a challenge on a doctrine or some type of book someone's read. But you just right away, because the Word is in you, right away you begin to have a response that's rooted in Scripture. And that's why when you get it in you, and why it's important for altar call preaching, is then when you're delivering the Word and you are declaring repentance, conversion, being born again, change, transformation, you can draw from the Word of God, which is absolutely necessary because the Holy Spirit moves through the Word of God. So let's thirdly then, what does this look like when making God your source? Thirdly, it has to do with living right. Let's read 1 Peter 2 and verse 9.
But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people to be his very own, and to proclaim the wonderful deeds of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Okay, think about this. You are a chosen people. Okay, God has called you. God has brought you into his family. You are a royal priesthood. In the Old Testament, the royal priesthood is those who ministered unto the Lord. Their lives were separated and dedicated to him. You are a holy nation, set apart. Right? God's own special possession. Who do we belong to? We belong to God. And all of that, what is the purpose? Right? Why does that matter? Why do we need to know that? That you may declare the promises, or the praises of him who called you out of darkness into wonderful light. You have that so that when you declare, it makes you a vessel of honor. Doing those things makes you a vessel ready to be used. Living right protects the gifting. It doesn't earn the giftings. What do I mean by giftings? Anointing, dominion, supernatural impact and influence, all those things. God wants to give it to you. He's more than glad to deposit it into your life. But living right protects that, what he's given you. You're not earning it. Ha, I've lived 327 days clean. So God, now I bump up, I level up. No, that's not how it works. God is glad to deposit. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So he wants to give it to you. You're just simply by living right, maintaining yourself as a vessel to continue to carry that. Fourthly, in making God the source could look like fasting. And we fast to find the mind of God. Remember, we're talking about altar call preaching, being effective. So fasting to find the mind of God. Acts 13 and verse 2.
As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them."
Okay, recognize here, as they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, what was the result? The result was guidance, direction. God was able to prompt. God was able to direct. God was able to inspire as a result of that for where they were going to minister next, where they were going to declare next, what they were going to declare, right? And you look at Paul's ministry with Barnabas as they go, and these different inspirations, God quickens Paul and God inspires him. And in a moment, he's able to react and respond. You know, we fast for guidance. That's the purpose, for direction. So in this, fast for your altar call. God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to declare? Right? I tell you, any of the men that have altar call preached, and any pastor will tell you, what a joy when you've worked on something well in advance and someone responds and says, "Man, that was just for me. It was a divine intersection. That was just for me. That was exactly, it was like the preacher was talking to me." Because you fasted for guidance. God, you didn't know who was going to be there, but God knew. And he can quicken, and he can inspire. Or maybe in a moment, you've fasted and prayed, and you've prepared something. But there have been times in the concert where I had something prepared, but it was evident the night was going in a specific direction. And it's like, you know what? The direction is hope. The direction is forgive, you know, an aspect of the gospel that you then lean into and you're able to draw from that. But that comes out of a sensitivity. Can God even talk to you? Can God even direct you? Can God prompt you in another direction, right? So that's where fasting in preparation for, it gives us guidance. So, give God something to work with. Right? That's in essence what we're talking about. If God is our source, then give him something to work with. Be intentional about your calling. Be intentional about your preaching. And you will find that God wants to help us. He wants to help you be effective. Let's read Jeremiah 1 and verse 9.
Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth.
Okay, think about this. Here's Jeremiah. God is bringing his calling to the forefront. He's wrestling with it. But the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and said, I put my words in your mouth. Think about that. God, he wants to help us. He wants to give you the words. He wants to make you effective. So if that's your starting point, right? God, I need you. You called me. You're going to help me. Where do we get that? All of these, everything we're looking at points to how much God wants us to be effective in doing a work for him. Verse 2, he made my mouth like a sharp sword. A sharp sword that can cut through rebellion. A sharp sword that can cut through hardness of heart. A sharp sword that can cut through resistance. Cut through mockery. Cut through whatever would be opposing the word of God. But because you made God your source, because you've prepared in advance, internally, now, when you preach, God makes it with an edge. Let's close. Let's talk about the results. So now, you can break through into the results that you want to see. Which in our case, you know, the way that we disciple and in the biblical foundation, what we see is hands raised. People responding publicly, openly, right? People coming forward and repenting. But then people locking into church. That's what we want. People locking into church. Just a connection there is, in Santa Fe, I'd preached a haunted house altar call. And this couple had gotten saved and they had come to church and had been coming for some time. I took them out to lunch and they were talking and saying, man, you know, when we called on the haunted house, you know, and connected, like, wait, it's a church. The number for the church is the same as this haunted house. Like, we were all sketchy about it, you know, like, just didn't seem right. And so then we came and, you know, went through it. It was, you know, super scary, all this. And they said, but then the last scene, man, was so intense. And you said these words. You said, you've seen a glimpse of hell. Let it be your last. And they said, I don't ever want to see hell again. And that was when they lifted their hands and responded. Think about that. Just a simple, I'm just preaching. I didn't preach the same altar call every time. It always, you know, morphs a little bit and you say things a little bit different and whatnot. But that's what they needed. And they were converted, locked into church. You know, that's why we do this. And when you have that, you prepare and you make God the source, it changes everything. And that's from now in altar call preaching, but that continues. What does Pastor Greg say all the time? God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Help me. Inspire me. I've heard him pray, God, I confess my need for you. It doesn't change. God remains the source. And from altar call preaching to preaching, sermons, it's the same fundamental principles at work. So if you aren't then seeing those things, right? Okay, but, you know, I preached, I did all that, and I preached, and okay, well, repeat step one. Doesn't change it. Like I said, is God, you are the source. You want to help me. You call me. And any time I begin to encounter opposition or resistance, because life, it's a struggle. Salvation, Christian, it's not a checklist. Did you get the anointing thing down? Check. Did you get the dominion thing down? Check. And it'd be wonderful if that's how it was. But it's constant. You're wrestling through, you're grappling through things in the spiritual. And so, if you aren't seeing those, repeat it. Not as a formula, but as a response. It's a default response. It's a conviction. There's times where the staff, we sense a opposition, or we noticed a pattern. You know, hey, X number of services, this is what we're seeing. We go together, we pray through the sanctuary. We lay hands on the altar. We lay hands on the pulpit. We lay hands on the doors. And we've done that with serious men. We've done that. But it's not a formula. Understand, like I said, it's a response. Hell wants to fight. It's a response. And it's a conviction. It's settled in you. You don't have to be persuaded of it. In that posture of faith, in the attitude of faith, in the aggression of faith, and you get a breakthrough. That's why we call it, you broke something through in the spiritual. Okay, let's open it up for some questions there on 180 preaching. The heart of preaching. Yeah, David?
Sorry, this is a little bit left field, but the most recent time I did an outreach, and I was preparing, like what you said, praying, fasting. I felt a couple specific things that I felt that God wanted me to pray for. Female issues, specifically. But what's funny is the ladies that were there at the outreach ended up leaving by the time of the altar call. They were gone.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you chalk that up to? Because apparently God was leading me to pray for that, but there weren't any females.
Sure. Yeah, but you know, you move along. Okay. Maybe that wasn't God. So, or maybe that, you know, you could have still made a call and see what happened, you know. but yeah, at the end of the day, you know, to pinpoint it on, you know, I'm not going to pray for that type of stuff anymore. I'm not going to seek God in that way anymore. Right? At the end of the day is, you navigate it. And if it's not the case, okay, maybe I missed that one. You know, who knows? So, but at the end of the day is repeat step one. Go back to the God factor. God, you're the source. You know who will be there, and you can inspire. Yep. Devin?
How do you know when you, I guess, truly have dominion? Is it based in you're seeing the results? Or do I feel like there's seasons where I have dominion, but then it's like there's other seasons it doesn't feel like I have it, even though I might still have it? I don't know.
Yeah, so like I said, though, life is constantly course corrections and fighting things through. Right, Paul writes, fight the good fight of the faith. Right, so it's going to be a lifelong thing that you're wrestling with it. And so, yeah, to say though, you know, Devin, in your head, like, you know, you don't get, last week I had 5 saved, this week I had 3 saved, did I lose dominion? No, is you still have the response, right? You still have an element at work there, right? But if you're seeing a pattern, I had 5 saved, and now the last 3 times I've preached, I can't pay anyone to be saved. That, what is it? Okay? Maybe not that you've lost dominion in life, but clearly something has found a foothold somewhere. Now, the point isn't, you've got to identify it. You know, some people get hung up on, you know, what's the spirit's name that is hindering this? You know, and you've got to pick the lock of it. No. I don't like those results. I disagree with them. Why? Because you said, God, you've appointed me to bear fruit, that my fruit should remain, right? That without you, I can do nothing. My confidence is in you, not right? And you begin to fill it with the word of God, and you begin to contend it through, like I said, start back over, right? God the source and the you factor in the preparation. And those things you can begin to sometimes identify, right? It's oftentimes when you're feeling resistance, and this has happened over the course of ministry, you're feeling resistance, you're seeing opposition, you go back, prayer, scripture, righteousness, fasting, and something comes to the surface. It's rebellion, it's immorality, it's, you know, whatever the case, you deal with it and then you can move along and you see it change. Been times I've dealt with immorality, removed someone from ministry or from church, and there's been resistance, and then boom, that next service, it's like, where did all these visitors come from? You know, where is, because you dealt with what was resisting. Yep. So it's not so much you personally lose dominion, although that could be the case. Not living right, yeah, you're going to lose dominion, right? Sometimes it's like, you know, Joshua, when they go up against Ai. What happened? We were winning everyone. People were in fear of us. Now we've lost people. Why? There was sin in the camp. Something disrupted the dominion, right? So that's, you just identify that there's a problem and then turn to God. He'll help you. Yep, Gabe.
When God is revealing different areas of your life that you don't have dominion in versus ones that you do,
yep,
that you can obviously see, how do you not get overwhelmed? Because, you know, obviously God will show us things in our heart when you ask Him to reveal things in the Holy Spirit in prayer, but how do you not get overwhelmed? Because I know you can, dominion is transferable. You know, I killed a lion, I killed a bear.
Yep.
But at the same time, I feel like there's certain areas that are very off balance in dominion. Like, this is like, I'm walking with God on this. But on the other area, you're like, I feel completely alone. Not that you're mad at God, but you just understand that there's no dominion there.
Yeah.
How do I go about, besides just saying, okay, I know I can have dominion in both, what are ways that I can transfer that and almost not get overwhelmed by the areas that I'm like, okay, I'll get to that. But
sure.
I feel like if I guess my relying on my own strength, my instinct is like, if I don't deal with that now, it's going to ruin everything.
Yeah.
But then again, it's like, but I'm not there yet. You know, I have different areas that I know are more important.
Sure. So yeah, good question. And we can look at it like you're saying, these categories of dominion, right? Is okay, money, set. Marriage, okay, there's going to be some work there, you know. And you go down the list of these categories of where you have dominion or not, but really, you don't have to tackle each individual one. You know, like, remember those cartoons where the dam starts to break and,
yeah,
you know, put a finger here in this hole, and, oh, there's another one, oh, there's another, you know, and like you're trying to keep this dam from breaking.
Yeah.
That's not how it is. It's simply this. Guard your heart, for from it flows the springs of life. If you will focus on, God, I just want to live right and please you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That, if you guard this, that flows into every arena of life. So it's not like you even have to necessarily work out every single possible dominion scripture on whatever category. Is when you live right here first, then it's going to, you'll see, dang, get down the road. That got healed by just living right. Mm. That got resolved by just living right. I got a breakthrough by just living right, obeying God with all my heart, soul, might, and strength. So from it flows the springs of life. It'll flow into those areas. So that's really the essence there, which goes back to, right, the God factor. Effective preaching, but effectiveness in life always starts with living for God. Starts with God. Yep. Good question. Any other questions on 180 preaching?
I do have another question. How many scriptures do you like to have, like let's say it's a traditional 180 altar call?
I've never been given a number, nor have I ever, like, said, I need at least five or whatever.
You want some, right?
But you want some. And again, you know, like we looked at in the mechanics, you don't have to get hung up on, you know, in the nerves of it, you forget John 3:16. You know, the Bible says in John 2, no, is it 3? Yeah, 3. For God so loved the world that he gave, you know, so you get hung up there. Just, you know, the Bible declares to us, God so loved us that he gave us his son, right? And you begin to give that, you know, if you're in your section of sin, you know, Bible says the wages or the payment of sin is death. That's all sin can produce. Broken relationships, addictions, you know, etc., etc. So you're bringing in scriptures. That's how it could look, right? But having a set amount, not so necessary. But you're going to find in the preaching mechanics that I talked about, and in this, you bring them together. It just flows out of you. Half the time, I should say this. I got to a point in my altar calls where all I was writing was the illustration and application. The rest was just resident in me. I didn't have to every single time write it out. Now, in the beginning, I did. I wrote out every single bit of it, you know, and you're memorizing it and working it through. But as you find, the more connected you're becoming with God and reading, the more it just becomes resident in you. The more you begin to see scriptures that communicate sin, communicate the hope of the gospel, communicate conversion, you begin to see those scriptures and they become resident in you. So, yeah, I don't have a figure, like a number, but at the end of the day, you will find that it's very natural that it just flows out of you. Yeah, Gabe?
How do you go about studying the Bible? Because I'll read it or I'll listen to it, depending on where I'm at. And a lot of the things are kind of just surface level. You'll understand it like, oh, okay, I know how to apply that. I can see myself in that. But how do you personally, in your life, decide what part to study and when? Like, is it like, oh, I haven't read through that deep enough. Let's go back or whatever. But for someone who's never really studied any specific part ever, like in depth at all, and what does that mean to study it?
Sure. The first thing, Gabe, is what really helped me in developing an eye and a heart for study was the Life Application Study Bible. For me, when Pastor Greg had recommended that, it revolutionized the way I read the Bible and applied the Bible. But then you have, just as part of it, there's historical references. There's, you know, getting back to Greek and Hebrew. And these different applications for your life. There's personality profiles in there. You know, you come across a character, Jacob is being introduced, and there's a whole profile on Jacob and his strengths and his weaknesses and key verses about him. And so what it did was it began to broaden and expand beyond just the words I was reading and finding maybe some application or no application, then going to those study notes, it brought it to life and, like I said, began to really expand my understanding. And so that would be a way, you're talking about the starting point, that would be a way to begin studying the Bible. A great tool, great help, Life Application Study Bible. Yeah, very good. Yeah, Phil.
When you're doing the altar call and then you, kind of get to the end and you're not seeing the response that you want, maybe no one's lifted their hand, Is that typically where you would, you know, you, like you say, pivot? Or, it, you know, I've seen different guys, like, continue, like, to press in. Like, I guess that's a sensitivity.
Yeah, that's going to be a sensitivity. So what happens often, Phil, in concert preaching at the beginning, so when you're talking about pivoting, that's very different. That's like in healing crusades. You know, depending on the response, you're gonna pivot. In a regular service, there, I don't need to pivot to anything, because I know what the next part of my altar call is, right? And then you know the crowd. Yeah, there's no visitors here, so you know there's probably some backsliders in there, but you know, yeah, I'm not gonna beat it out of them, right? So. That aside, let's talk concert preaching. Concert preaching, what happens oftentimes in the beginning stages is guys in the nerves, when you're first up there, time feels like eternity. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so when you say, you know, bow your heads, goes, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ? You know, you want to pray a sinner's prayer? I want you to lift your hand. No one lifts their hand? Anybody? Okay, backsliders? Okay, let's stand. You do it that fast, everyone else is like, oh wow, they didn't even really pull. But you felt like it was this long period of time. So what happens is when you're not getting the initial response, you know, in your mind you might think like, hey, right away, 50 hands, look, you know, all of Prescott Valley is going to get saved tonight, you know. And when that doesn't happen, it can spin you out and you wind up just going too short, right? So the best thing, and we'll talk about that, it's one of the lessons I want to do in the altar call preaching, is in the appeal, pulling for sinners, pulling for hands raised, and getting a feel for you know, how long or short, really just having an arsenal of your in your approach of things to say, nicely spaced out, rhythmically spaced out, right, really makes a big difference. And so in that, if you're not seeing the response, when you're saying guys will pull more, many times it's because they have a couple of altar calls under their belt, and now they've developed a bit of a sensitivity. They know there's visitors in the crowd. They know there's people that need to get saved, so they're giving them the fighting chance. You're tipping the scales, so to speak. Yeah.
And is that also like a hard issue as well, like having that attitude, you know, before, so that you're willing to press in, you're willing to fight through. Maybe that there's resistance in the beginning of it, but
sure. Yeah, and you might sense that. Yeah, you might be able to develop that and work that through. So, but yeah, is for me. You know, my first altar call, I had people saved, I just didn't have hands raised, my very first altar call. So that was more because it was that, what I just said. Anybody? No? All right, let's stand, let's move along. And then, oh, whoa, look at the flood of people coming up. You know, it just, that was something for me to break through. But that was my first three altar calls. People were responding, but not in my altar call. They were responding once we stood and someone said, hey, do you want to pray? Yes, I do. You know, it's like, so it was there. I just had to break it through. And then I also, I fought it through spiritually, the things I talked about. But then secondly is just kind of equipping myself, like I said, with some certain things to say, rhythmically spaced out, really goes a long way. Okay. Yep. Good. Yeah, Devin.
How do you, kind of the same thought pattern there, how do you keep from getting spun out if there is not a response and you just keep like just moving forward? Like for a guy that tends to wear his emotions on his face,
sure,
or whatever.
Yeah.
How do you
Yeah, it's a skill, you know, to keep your poker face. But at the end of the day, this is why the God factor, my confidence is always in God. Right, even going to Guam this last time, the things I'm praying, and one of the guys had commented on it, but I'm saying, God, you want to heal. That is who you are. You are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You paid for healing at the whipping post. I don't have to beg you for this. God, this is what you want to do. And I take confidence in that. So now when you get there, right, and maybe you're not getting the results you want or were expecting, it doesn't spin you out, because at the end of the day, it's not on me. Without God, I can do nothing anyway. So with that, it comes back to your security, right? Your confidence in God. And what spins guys out more is embarrassment, right? Or they get in their head like, oh, no one raised their hand. Pastor's going to think I'm in sin, you know, or their own guilt, or, you know, all these different things that can play into it more in your insecurities than anything else. To not get spun out is, you know what, we've done what we need to do. I don't like these results, so I'm going back to, right, step one. God, I'm turning back to you, and et cetera. Because that's what it is. It's a response. It's a conviction. This is unacceptable, right? And so, you're going to have those nights. I remember Pastor Greg would say that, like, there's going to be pizza services. What's a pizza service? You know, not much happened, but we did what we needed to. Let's go have pizza. And, you know, while that's true, you don't want it. You don't want pizza 180 nights. You don't want to, but that's why your response in it. Right? It's going to happen here and there. But it's when you see a pattern. Hey, it's been weeks that we've been dry in salvations. That's not acceptable. Right? Bad night here and there. They happen. So, yep. Yes?
Do you still deal with those issues?
What issues?
Lack of confidence.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No, definitely. There's different times, John, that I was just talking to one of our staff the other day, and, my whole series that I'm doing right now, my lesson, I was very excited for it. And then I got hit with an intimidation, like, this, what am I thinking? This isn't gonna help. I mean, I got all in my head. It was from hell, right?
Yeah.
But then I settled. No, God, you inspired this, and I know it. And I'm gonna do this with confidence. You're gonna help me, right? And man, it has impacted. In the Sunday school is what I'm talking about. Yeah. And it has impacted. When I was in Guam, people on the other side of the world, one pastor said, thank you for this. He said, we look different, we talk different, we live different, but people are the same everywhere. He said it's been a huge help for him in his counseling and people he's working with, etc. So, yeah, different times you feel that, for sure. Yep. But I know my default. My default response is exactly what I minister. Yep. Pastor Hart?
Have you found that also when a guy begins to do altar calls that there is an added grace? God wants him to do this. So there'll be times when he has or saying something that may not be 100% correct, but God saves people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It helps the man realize that the call that's on his life is so much more than what the importance of mechanics, yes, but early on there's that grace.
Absolutely, element. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you see that, and because, like I said in the lesson, God wants to help us.
Yes.
You need to know God wants people saved. How bad? He was willing to die for it. That's how bad He wants them saved. So you go, you lean into those truths and those promises. Great. Awesome. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your time. Good questions. That's all.